The following is a production of DallasCowboys.com and the Dallas Cowboys Football Club.
How about them Cowboys?
Yeah! Go Cowboys!
Let's go, baby!
Are you ready for a break?
Yes.
Are you ready for a break?
Absolutely.
Ready for a break?
Yeah, and so much for that.
It's time for The Break on DallasCowboys.com.
We were on the break!
With Nick Eatman, Brian Broaddus, Ambar Garcia, and Derek Eagleton.
Hey guys, welcome back to Cowboys Break, presented by Miller Lite, la única cerveza de los Dallas Cowboys. Miller Lite. I'm joined here by Nick Eatman, Derek Eagleton, and Brian Broaddus from The Fan. You guys can ask Derek on Twitter later on why I'm hosting today, but we don't need to get into that.
Happens sometimes.
Yeah, it just happens sometimes. So we do have some news that happened yesterday. A couple of days ago, the Cowboys did cut a young linebacker. And I remember, Brian, on the show, you still had some concerns at the position of linebacker. And yesterday they went out and did a whole deal of a one-year deal with Anthony Barr. He's from the Vikings, and he's a four-time Pro Bowler, so yeah. A lot of experience there, good experience. So just wanted to get into what this guy can bring to the team. How are you guys expecting him to work out, and how are the Cowboys really going to try to utilize a guy like him with so much experience?
Yeah, I feel like this was something they'd been working on for a while, and the price was too high for them initially. And now the price has come to the level where the player says, okay, I need to get on a team. I need to get to camp. And so if you look at the way the contract's structured, it's a little bit like what Leighton Vander Esch got. So they kind of kept their linebackers. And Leighton Vander Esch, by the way, has been playing very, very well. But with Anthony Barr, what you do is you get a player that, you know, and I've asked my guys around the league about, okay, with Anthony, is it, you know, 17 games? Is it one of those things? And it's like, no, he's been a little bit banged up. You know, the 8 to 10 games that you've gotten from him here lately. But before that, I mean, he was one of those types of guys. So he's a little bit advanced on age. But what you have is a player that, and again, my guys around the league were saying, you pair him with Micah Parsons, now you've got some real versatility. And then you talk with, you know, the coaches here. You talk with the front office guys here. They'll tell you they're excited about that. They're excited about adding a player that can maybe free Micah up to do more things. You also could pair Barr with Leighton Vander Esch inside. And I was also told, don't look at him as a Sam linebacker or a Will linebacker or as a Mike linebacker. He's more of a situational type of a player. So whatever the situation calls for them, they can mix and match this thing. It's just another versatile piece for them to have.
That's one of the things I actually love about this is Dan Quinn seems to be a coach that can take advantage of situational type players. Yeah. We saw it last year with a number of different guys on this defense. You just add one more of those guys that plays a role that he finds for them and then starts moving them around and playing with them as chess pieces. I think this was a really great signing for the Cowboys. If he can be healthy, stay healthy. He is an upgrade, I think, to this team and what they're going to have out there on defense.
Yeah, I like it. I mean, it's one of those moves that the fans always want. You know, they just want to hear names, and this is a name. I don't know if he's got any left in the tank, but I think they're gonna find out. And I think he's got the resources with George Edwards and his experience with him, and then Dan Quinn can, like, just another tool in the toolbox. So, you know, we'll see. I just think that, like Brian said, the versatility of moving him inside, maybe this is a move that Micah Parsons is going to rush the passer a whole lot more. But, you know, just a lot of options for them, and we'll see how it goes. But
I
like it.
And I will say this. I'm looking at his statistics right now. You go look at that, man. Last year, he only played 11 games. But in those 11 games, his numbers were pretty consistent with what he'd done throughout his career. He had last year 72 tackles. 6 quarterback hits. He had 2.5 sacks. And if you look at all the years in his career, he was pretty much around that same range in most of his best years. So if he can stay healthy, he's still got it. I don't know that he's a guy that you would look at and say he's declining. You know, we talked about Emmanuel Sanders,
right?
35-year-old, maybe not the same guy. This guy seems to be the same guy. It's just a matter of staying healthy.
Yeah, I think you're onto something there. About if you get the health, like Nick was talking about as well, though, that's the thing that they're very, very hopeful for. They just love the versatility of the player. I know for a fact. I remember when he was coming out in the draft, and we were still all at Valley Ranch. And I remember walking by one night Will McClay's office, and the door was open, and I just knocked on it and said, hey, you know, good night, boss, see ya. And he's like, come here for a second. And he was happened to be putting together a tape of Anthony Barr. And so his mission was, I'm going to try and sell this guy as a rusher. I'm going to try and sell this guy as a pressure player. So there's been a lot of love from Will McClay. I mean, Barr went, you know, well before the Cowboys got the pick in that draft. But they were ready, and Will was ready, and he was excited about the opportunity about getting a player like this in the draft. I know he has to be excited about getting, even though it's a little bit later in his career, getting a player, though, that he kind of had a vision for.
Well, and what's exciting for me is the fact that they finally signed a guy that is someone that you know. You know, like, it's not one of those signings that a lot of people have to sit here and, like, really go through and find his career, what that looked like and all that. This is a guy that has a good amount of reputation. There are some questions around his health, but it's good to have a guy in here that you're familiar with. Now, I was going to ask you guys, as far as the defense as a whole and overall, are you feeling like they're missing or lacking certain more talent on certain spots overall? Like, you need to add an extra body? Or do you feel that now by adding a linebacker, a veteran linebacker with experience, that you're pretty much set on what you've got on the defensive side of the ball?
I think they've replaced Randy Gregory and then some. I mean, I think that they've surpassed that. What Randy gave them consistently and freakish talent and all that rolled into one player, and also an undisciplined player, and a player that you can't always trust to be on the field for whatever the reason. So I think that they've replaced him with the Fowler, Dorrance Armstrong, and now Parsons, really, because mm-hmm. of what the Barr and Parsons will give. So, I mean, you know, we'll see him this week, I think, next week, and he's going to be injured. So, you know, I mean, I think that they've replaced them. How do you replace them? Like, yeah, they go out and you do what you've done. You throw a lot of guys at the wall, guys that have had better careers than Gregory his best year. And I think, you know, we'll see what happens, but I think they've replaced them.
Do you feel like, though, Nick, that you were looking to, say, go get a wide receiver? Is this a position where you're like, okay, why are you adding a defensive player? The defense looks like they've come to play. I mean, you know, they've made things difficult for this offense, but is there that buzz or that feeling with you that, okay, well, can Barr run routes? Barr do this? You're kind of joking in a way.
Yeah,
but did they? I kind of feel like that they were working on this player for so long that he finally gave in, and then they gave in and said, sure, come on board. And now, the timing of it is like, because the fans are going, wait a minute, you guys are screaming about a wide receiver. Why are you screaming about a wide receiver? You know, why do you feel like you guys have to have, you know? And so I don't know if the timing of it is kind of weird, because maybe the fans are like, what's going on here?
I think I still look at it, though, from a standpoint that, you know, for whatever wide receiver we look at that you could bring in right now, is he going to give you the value that you're going to get maybe from a Barr?
Right.
Like, so I know you can say you need a wide receiver. That doesn't mean he's going to come in and really give you much anything.
Right.
If you think you can really advance your defense, then I don't think, and I don't think these are really separate. You know,
I think so too. I that's what I'm saying. But I think the fans are kind of looking at it as like, and I know initially it was like, why the hell are you signing a wide receiver? I mean, why are you signing a linebacker?
Right.
Doesn't this team need a, you know, everybody's talking about in camp how these wide receivers are looking, whether it's good or bad. I just feel like this is one of those things where timing kind of went funny, because I felt like they've been working on Barr a long time.
But it's also
it's just the timing of it seems like, why you adding this guy? No, it came down to his money demands went way down.
Yep.
And you said, by the way,
you can finally get the player you
let's
want.
Come on. Yeah. Come on. Let's go.
Yeah.
And I see it kind of like the whole draft strategy. When you get to the draft and you're like, okay, these are our needs. I mean, linebacker was a position of need, maybe not as high as wide receiver, but you go with talent. Who's the better guy out there right now that you can quickly get in here? So I think that they kind of seem to stick with that, or at least in this move that they made. But overall, I feel that if you can get better even at a on your stronger side of the ball, why not?
Yeah,
add another piece. Yeah, you're absolutely right.
All right, well, I wanted to ask before we move on to other topics and we take a break, wanted to ask about COVID and some of the things that have been happening here. I know there are two names of two guys that apparently have tested positive, and just wanted to ask you guys some kind of what really does the protocol look like this year and how the Cowboys are managing all that. Brian, the two names, I know one is hard to pronounce, but you can go ahead and give
it. Is it Shamklin, Nick? Is that how you say it?
Yeah, Aaron Shamklin.
Shamklin.
Yeah.
Okay. Shamklin is a running back, young running back from Harvard, who's a rookie who's had
smart guy.
He's had COVID. And so now we're starting to get word that Rico Dowdle has COVID now as well. So he will not be on the practice field. We were talking in pre-show meeting. We haven't seen, Joe Witt Jr., the secondary coach, we haven't seen him on the field. So maybe there might be a little bit of this going through the building behind us right now. And, you know, hopefully it's not one of those things that all of a sudden you start to lose guys in practice. That's the thing coaches fear the most, is not being able to have enough guys, enough bodies to practice.
So it's the same position, too. Same guys.
Same room. Might even be roommates.
Maybe roommates.
I don't think so in this case. Okay. I think that Malik Davis, I know, was switching rooms. With Shamklin, was rooming with Shamklin.
Okay, there you go.
Rooms and all that.
Rookie to rookie.
So they're trying to, you know, and hopefully he's good and he's getting a lot of carries out there. As far as the protocol, I'll admit I don't really know how different it is. I mean, I'm sure it is some way. I mean, I think I've heard the 5 days, but right. I don't. You know, training camp rules and regular season rules are a little different,
mm-hmm. Right?
Because you got 90 guys, and I think they just say deal with it. When you get to the season and somebody goes on a list, I wonder if you can.
Bring some guys up.
Yeah, my understanding was that the protocol is now back to not really a protocol from the standpoint of your roster. Like, mm-hmm. I don't think it's going to change anything with the roster. It's very similar to if you just have a player that's got the flu, mm-hmm. right? And you gotta now
deal with it.
Yeah, he goes and he's kind of you could get a situation where he's away from the rest of the team, so it doesn't run through the team. But I don't think there is an exemption.
But is there like an amount of time of like, okay, you tested negative on this day and now, or you're good to go, or
that,
like that type
that
of
I'm not
stuff,
sure
of. You know?
I know, obviously, as us as employees, it's like a five-day window where you isolate from everybody else, and that's kind of what you have to go through. So, I mean, again, I think that I'm interested to see once we get to the season if you should have numbers start to increase throughout the country if they do put something back in place. But as I understand it right now, there isn't anything,
you know,
from a roster standpoint.
Yeah, talking to personnel directors around the league, they were really happy with the way – not that COVID was part of their game plan, but they were really happy that the league was very flexible about being able to bring guys up and down. And then also having veteran players on the practice squad gave you flexibility as well.
Yep.
All right, well – let's go ahead and take our first break. When we come back, we're going to discuss some of the things that these coordinators were talking about yesterday. They finally got a chance to talk to the media, and there were some interesting things that came out of that.
Todd thought it would be secure to jog in the cheetah savannah. Todd believed the big cat repellent he bought online was reliable. And now Todd is trying to be faster than this cheetah that can run 80 miles per hour. But the good news is Todd has AT&T 5G that is fast, reliable, and secure. And he learned the best thing to do is stop running and toss her the backpack with the beef stew. AT&T 5G. Fast, reliable, secure. It's not complicated.
5G requires compatible plan and device. 5G may not be available in your area. See att.com/5G for you for details.
What do you call a group of grown men and women with their faces painted silver and blue who get together every week to share a 3-hour-long ritual of jumping, sinking, and toasting Miller Lite in 10-gallon hats while yelling, "How about them Cowboys?" You call it Miller Time in Dallas. Here's to the Cowboys. Here's to the original light beer. It's Miller Time. Celebrate responsibly. 2021 Miller Brewing Company, Fort Worth, Texas.
The Cowboys way, where 16 Hall of Famers and 5 championships shows us what success looks like. Where turkey is always the second best part of Thanksgiving Day. Where we are all defined by one single thing, the star. Where we as fans know it's our job to keep the tradition going. Bank of America is proud to be the official bank of the Dallas Cowboys and to support the quest of living life the Cowboys way.
Copyright 2020 Bank of America Corporation.
Lil' Sweet!
Did you get to work on time?
Yeah, but I just realized it's Sunday.
Lil' Sweet says head on home. Dr. Pepper is on its way. So sweet, unique. Baby, there's nothing better. I bet you've probably done something that deserves a Dr. Pepper. Did you invest your nest egg in an NFT?
Yeah, and I don't even know what that is.
It's a non-fungible token.
Everyone's done something that deserves a Dr. Pepper.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Back to the break.
Make sure you see every exciting play with Essilor lenses. Book your appointment today with your local Essilor experts to find the perfect lens for you. See more, do more, Essilor.
Welcome back to the break. So yesterday, the coordinators finally met with the media, and one of the things that have kind of stood out and one of the most positive things that I've noticed during camp and all these practices so far is the running game. Zeke and Tony Pollard. And Kellen Moore did talk about them too and what they're trying to do with both of them this year. So I wanted to get with you guys and hear your thoughts on this and kind of, because I know a lot of fans too keep wanting to see more of Pollard, give him more. But the goal here, at least for me, is to create that perfect balance. And one of the things that I have seen is not just the running game, but also in the passing game, they've been utilizing them both quite well and kind of equally, I would say, from what I've seen. So Kellen Moore just talked about Tony Pollard specifically, just kind of having that hybrid role for him. So Derek, I don't know if there's something that stood out for you that you want them to see doing more.
I mean, look, I'm a little conflicted here, and I know I was talking to Nick about this, and I think Nick's a good person to answer this question because, I'm not certain that Tony Pollard necessarily can handle more than what they are giving him. And I think that's a question that the media needs to start asking a little bit more, is what is his workload? Like, what is the optimal workload? Nick, you and I saw from years ago, like, we've seen them go through these periods where you have a backup running back and everybody wants to see more of the backup running back until you see more of the backup running back, and then you realize there's a reason why that running back got the workload that he got. And that's one of the questions I think is not being asked enough, is this the optimal amount for Tony Pollard? As much as we might want to see him more, is this the optimal amount or not? And if it's not, then okay, let's talk about that and then figure out maybe should he have more.
Somebody put it to me like this. It's like a closer in baseball that goes into the ninth inning and suddenly just goes 100, 99, 99, 100, just throwing gas. And they're like, well, he should be starting. Mm-hmm. But you're not going to get that same kind of arm and velocity and all that if you did it for a longer time. So you got to find the balance. And that's what, you know, you do as pitcher. What role do these guys have? You same with running backs here. And I think the belief is Tony Pollard is going to be better in this role. You start to give him more and all the things that a running back needs to do. It's not just more touches. People just think it's touches. How many times does Zeke slam into the linebacker that's blitzing? That feels on his body as well. Can Pollard do that? That's what is asked of a number one, of a starting running back. So I think that there's a sweet spot. He needs to get the ball a little bit more, and they know that, but not to the point where it's just flipping the roles.
Kind of feel like, though, that if you look at the numbers, Pollard averaged almost a yard more than Zeke carrying the ball. Now, maybe it's because of injury. I also feel like if my offensive line was compromised, didn't do a good enough job, I need somebody that's going to make somebody miss initially and then get whatever yards you can get. The more touches and all that, I absolutely agree with Nick. I think there's a spot you have to find. But when your eyes tell you that one guy is clearly more explosive getting the ball to and through the hole. You know, these linemen, the problems they had up front of not being able to hold blocks or getting overpowered or, you know, sometimes if you have a back that has a little bit more elusiveness and he can get through and get up, and now it's a four-yard gain instead of a gain of none or a gain of one. That's kind of where I feel like with Pollard, that's where I think he could have made a difference. When your offensive line is not blocking well enough, but you have somebody that's explosive enough to force the hole and then get through it or get around the corner and get through it. And But, you know, if your line's really humming along, they did a great job last year the first 8 weeks of the game. They were, season, there was balance. There was absolute balance there. But the line was blocking a lot better, too. And so that's kind of where I feel like it, only if you're compromised at line do you maybe need to see with Tony Pollard more as a ball carrier.
Let me throw this at you, too. Like, I wonder how much do you think that what we saw in the early part of the season was also a reflection of the fact that Zeke was healthy.
Yeah, that's
up
yeah.
until Zeke got
yeah.
hurt. I thought Zeke was running the ball.
He was
really, really
absolutely
well. And
was.
I thought he was back to kind of the Zeke that we had seen early
2016
in his
Zeke. Yeah,
And then all of a sudden he got hurt, and then all of a sudden, you know, over the next several weeks, things started going downhill. I think the offensive line didn't play well, but I wonder how much was also of that was a reflection of Zeke.
I do. I you know, I was talking with you guys earlier in one of our previous shows. Everybody was saying that Zeke wasn't hurt. You know, they kept saying Zeke's not hurt. And I kept asking him, like, why does he look hurt?
Yeah.
Why does he look like he's not? You know, it's just all you need in the NFL is those linemen can brush block. And I mean, brush block just barely hit somebody and get the back through. Some of these guys have to just hold on to a block, and then now they're compressed in the hole or they're turned, and the back has nowhere to go. But if you're back like Zeke and you're compromised with your knee, you're not going to be explosive. You're not going to be able to, like, get through the hole and stuff like that. So I think once that happened, the running game just went south. But his injury and then their inability to get any type of movement at times, I think, was really, really what set things back with this offense.
I think sometimes that in this case, I think average yards per carry is a stat that's easy to compare the two guys. But I think it can be kind of unfair to the bigger back. Because on third and one, Zeke gets one.
Right.
That kills his average. But he got the job. That's what he needed to do. And I'm not saying that a quicker back to the hole can't do that as well. I mean, I think that there's two schools of thought there. But I do think that sometimes when you're asking short yardage back to get these, you know, third and ones, third and two, and they get it, and you know, the average is going to go down, as I, you know, because sure. Pollard's not asked to do the same. But you're right about the eye test. I mean, the eye test is there. I mean, and so I think the one thing that I've been told about this too, that the third running back here is really important. Before,
oh, absolutely.
Before
yeah.
we would just
yeah.
be like, well, one, two,
right.
and then do you even need a third guy because you got two backs? But if they're both out there a lot,
right.
and they're both tapping their helmet at the same time,
right.
then this third guy, so Rico Dattle, yeah. I don't think he's going to get as many preseason snaps as you think, as we yeah. think, because he's not only making the team, he's going to have a role.
No, you're right about that. That's the thing that I remember when I was working with Jerry Jones in personnel, it was about the running back had to be a guy that could also play special teams. Mm-hmm. And they've talked about Rico Dattle being like primary kick returner too, or playing other special teams roles and stuff. So not only does the third back going to get opportunity to play offensive snaps, but now Bones Fossil's got you on. You're the up back on the punt team. You're mm-hmm. you're the punt return blocker guy. I mean, there's a lot of roles. So, yeah, I mean, that's the whole thing. Bill Parcells, when I take you to the game, How many snaps am I going to have?
Yep.
How many snaps am I? If I don't need 10 snaps, you know, I need 30 snaps from you today. And that's what a guy like Rico Dattle at that third back is going to have to do.
See, I completely agree with everything that you guys have been saying. But for just the sake of the argument and going back to where this whole thing really started, which was a couple of years ago when Zeke was out in a game. I don't remember exactly what game that was.
San Francisco and Zeke. Definitely remembers it. That was another point I was going to make, but go on. Yeah.
But we got to see Tony Pollard. I remember very vividly how fast and how much Tony was running, and that's kind of what created the whole excitement and the fans jumping in, wanting Pollard to take the more reps and take over kind of what Zeke was doing. So going back to maybe that game, and I know it's been a while since, but remembering how he was able to perform in a game like that, and I get the whole thing. Like I said, I agree with, okay, how does that look on a week-to-week basis yeah. on a body like him and what he does? But going back to what fans remember in that game, should they maybe give him just more to see, okay, we're just right now assuming that his body can't handle this, but should they maybe just go ahead and give it to him just to see how he actually does? And because you always have the ability to take that back away from Zeke and just managing what you do on a week-to-week basis.
I think that you remember that game, and fans remember that game, and I think Zeke remembered that game as well, because last year when he's limping around.
He didn't want to go out.
I don't think he wanted that door to be open for Pollard, and that happened. And so I think you're right about that, and I think, you know, but then again, it's not exactly Zeke's call.
Right.
It should be his call. So everyone's right here. Like, there's a balance. Everyone knows there's something to, you know, how much are we doing? How much is, you know, Zeke going to step back? How much is Pollard going to get? And I think, you know, they'll find that sweet spot.
You know, it's funny. We interviewed Jerry Jones the other day, and I asked him this question. I go, do you feel like you've wasted Pollard's career? And he hated my question.
Yeah.
He's like, I don't feel like we wasted it at all. But the point of my question was, is there going to be a time you just load him up and go? You know, and being in the last year, maybe this is the time where we'll see it. But I don't want the Cowboys to look back and go, and then he's gone to Buffalo or somewhere else, you know, and you're like going, man, look what he's doing. You know, and then you kind of have that remorsefulness that you didn't try and use him more. And I'm not saying to the point where you're handing the ball like the guy at Tennessee or any, you know, these workhorse backs. But did you not take advantage, Kellen Moore, of the explosiveness? There's fans that say, hey, I just want him to be like kind of like an Alvin Kamara guy. Mm-hmm. Just throw him the ball. I want him to be McCaffrey. Just throw him the ball. Hand him the ball. You know, they just want to see that more than anything else.
That's honestly the way I look at it. Like, this is the prime opportunity to do it. You got all these wide receivers out. If you can be creative with how you use them, there's opportunity here to get him more involved in the offense without having to affect what you're doing with Zeke. Yeah. Like, there's a way to do it right now. You just got to figure it out.
Two times in Pollard's life, though, he's led his team in carries. One time was, I think, his junior year in high school. Another time was in junior high. No, but that's serious.
He's right.
Like, that's not what he has done. Him, and that's what Skip Pede and these and Kellen, and they have to realize is that, you know, do we want to do that? Do we want to throw him in there? Because they threw it to Kamara a lot. I mean, they threw him in the fire a lot last year, and he got banged up more than he's ever been. So they know they've got something here that they're just trying to, you know, massage it. But this goes all the way back. And, Brian, when you were, you know, a scout with this team, I mean, the backup running back is always the most popular guy.
Always.
Even when one of
even
them –
his name is Hambrick.
Yeah, and one of them was Emmitt Smith.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, the all-time leading rusher in the NFL.
Oh,
yeah.
There was a time, but later in that year, it was like, we need to get Rashard Lee some carries.
Yeah, exactly. You're right. Yeah. You're right.
Oh, we need to get these guys. You know, Chris Warren needs to come in and get carries. Yeah. I mean, it's always been the case, and you know, I agree. He needs to get the ball more, and I think they're going to figure out ways to do it with at receiver.
Derek is right about, and you just said it right there. I think that what's going to happen is they're looking at this wide receiver thing, and they're not worried about it because they're thinking of Schultz.
Mm-hmm.
Schultz is probably going to have 115 catches this year. Just get ready for that.
If you play fantasy.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Schultz, Pollard, they're going to find ways to massage the offense to bridge it to get to when they can get Gallup back.
They got
you
a
might
lot
see
of gadgets.
12 personnel. Yeah. You're going to see all that. But, you know, maybe the 12 personnel is not really – it's a tight end and Pollard, whatever you want to call that group of package right there, that's what you're going to probably
see. Then when you get a defense that's kind of taking out your most skilled guys, you know, that you don't – they're kind of taking them out of the game. You're left with these younger players that you're hoping, once again, to be able to kind of step up and make those plays. And I wanted to kind of getting further a little bit on this whole idea of utilizing Tony Pollard more as a receiver. And we've seen some of these younger players at the running back position standing out here at camp, and wanted to get your full thoughts. I know you guys have been kind of talking about that, but how does that really look like once, let's say, you hit week one and you're starting the season without James Washington, without Michael Gallup, and without, as of right now, another guy that they might bring in or might not, we don't know yet, but as of right now, there is not. So in a game, like, how do you picture this, how the offense might look like with Zeke, then another guy behind him, and Tony Pollard really acting more as a receiver? Like, how does that receiving corps really look for Dak Prescott?
I think that there's more happening here. I really do. And this isn't me just, you know, trying to just float something out there. I mean, I just I'm not trying to stir the pot over there. It's got to be better than this. It has to be.
Yeah.
You're
not wrong.
Stephen Jones even said it. I talked to Stephen. He said we got our eyes on some guys. There's some guys that aren't ready to come to camp.
Yeah.
ready or wanting to come to camp or wanting to practice. I don't know. And I think Brian said about the trade, I would go as high as a fourth round pick. This is what I would do. And this is hopefully what this doesn't get us in the tampering issues. I'm just saying,
careful.
As an example, I'm not even throwing a name that's available. Yeah. I'm just saying from last year. Last year, the Cardinals probably didn't think they were going to re-sign a Christian Kirk. And they didn't. And he went to free agency and he went to Jacksonville. A guy at the end of his rookie deal, maybe third, fourth-year guy, may or may not return to his team. You know, that's the guy I would like to trade for, with an idea of I need to trade for him, and hopefully he fits in and I can re-sign him. That's what I'm looking for. And there's probably some guys out there that are in their third or fourth year. They're not ready for their second deal just yet. And the other team is like, well, we like him, but we may not re-sign him anyways. Let's get what we're going to get as a compensatory pick and do it out of the way. I don't know if that makes
sense. How quickly do they need to get some? Because time keeps passing by, and you're getting closer and closer to the season.
You need to come in here,
get with Dak and all that. So what's like, I know you guys would all say, for today, like get it done today, come in out here. But what I would say, how I would phrase this question is the latest that that they need, like, okay, like a deadline per se, that they need to have a guy come in here.
I feel like that to me, you go through these practices that you guys are going to see next week in Denver, you go through that game. You're going to get to see some more practices here against the Chargers, get through that, see that game. I think all that work will tell you whether the young receivers that they're earmarking as these replacements are going to be good enough. If that's the case, maybe before the last preseason game, you're looking at the cutdown. Now I'm starting to throw the chum in the water and say, okay, listen, we got a surplus at defensive tackle here, or defensive end, or one of these linebackers. We've got some surplus, maybe corner. Would you trade me a young guy for a young guy here? You know, and try and swap it that way. I think that you're going to have to get through these next 2 weeks. You know, Will McClay's smart enough to know, he's like, but the plan might be we can get through with Pollard and we can get through with Schultz, you know, and we can get through with Noah Brown and Lamb and that. They might feel that's enough for them.
Let me throw out this other thought, too. Could part of this also be the fact that they're looking at this and they're trying to figure out, get a read on how quickly are you going to get Gallup back, right?
Yeah, that's
Gallup's
exactly
only out the
right.
first 3 weeks, now you feel like you might be able to massage this thing and be able to get through it. If he's going to be out 6 weeks, that might be a whole different scenario where they feel like they got to bring somebody in. So right now it could be just they're trying to figure that part out before they can make a move.
If he doesn't go on PUP to start the season – because PUP's automatically 4 games.
Yeah.
If he goes on PUP, that's the 4-game loss. If he doesn't go on, that's telling me Cincinnati. That's telling me we're going to miss Tampa, but if he's on PUP, that's a wash. But if he's off, it's Cincinnati. I think that's a date to kind of keep an eye on.
And I think, though, whatever they do, if they do go and add a player, it's got to be someone – you know, the more I think about this, I don't want the 33-year-old guy that comes in as a Band-Aid here just because you're trying to see when Gallup comes back and maybe when Washington comes back. I want a guy that's 25, 26 that you know, we could probably re-sign him next year. We could re-sign this guy, or we could keep him, maybe even keep him in as a better plan, a better option than James Washington. You know, I mean, like for a long term, you know, Washington's only here on a one-year deal. So, you're right. I think it's a domino effect. Starts with Gallup. Where is Gallup, and then how far can you trickle down?
Also, I feel that everyone's trusting on the fact that Gallup is going to come back and he's going to be perfect.
Oh, he won't be. You're
and
right.
We saw it last year. He got injured. He came back, did great, didn't miss a beat at all. But you never know how a player is going to come back from every injury. So it's this whole mentality that, yes, we're waiting on Gallup. He might be ready maybe week 3. Or we don't know, but you're trusting on the fact that once he steps on a field, on a regular season game, he's going to be able to be at the level that they need him to be.
He won't be. He'll be ready week 1 next year. Seriously, that's when he'll be his, like, back to 100% himself. No, he'll still be able to go out and play and do all that, but I don't think he'll feel the same. It takes all those players like that.
That's putting a lot of pressure on him.
It's a lot of pressure, and I think they have to get someone.
I know one thing: when you guys were at all these practices and stuff and following along, and I keep hearing the Wide receivers struggle today. That's when my antennas are going to go up about this. But I think you're saying what you're saying is absolutely right about Gallup. You know, just we'll see how they – I think they've got some options here to see how this thing's going to play. And I think the last option is to go and get a guy. That's, I think, their last option.
You know, I think it has to be pointed out, too, that the guys that they're going up against – I mean, think about what the cornerback position is. That there's an all-pro. There's a really good – solid guy on the other side.
And maybe the guy who's had the best camp of anybody out here is Anthony Brown.
But there's a second-round pick and a third-round pick that are in their second year here. Mm-hmm. And they can't get any snaps. You know, not really. Joseph and Nashawn Wright, they're not breaking into this. There's no competition with those two getting in. And they're second and third-round picks from last year. And Deron Bland's a rookie this year. But my point is that these corners are better by far than the receivers.
Across the board.
You're absolutely right.
And so it's a tough battle. Now you're throwing in, you know, Houston and Noah Brown, Simi against the best. Simi against Diggs? Yeah. Happening?
Yeah. He might make one play, but it's because Diggs probably planted the wrong way or something like that. Yeah.
So it's a tough battle right now for them because they're the thinnest position against maybe the deepest position.
See, that was my worry though going into the season that Dak is throwing to Houston and Simi Fehoko and Vasher. And I'm thinking, wait a minute. Who the Buccaneers? They've got Davis and Edwards and Winfield and they got all these names, and you're thinking, man, are my guys going to win? If they're not winning against my guys I'm practicing against, do they win against others?
Parsons is going to have to just
wreck shop,
just eat Tom Brady for lunch and dinner. Yeah. I mean, that's what I keep thinking. I really keep thinking like that.
They did a good job last year.
Seriously, who were the Giants receivers back in the 80s? I mean, like, you know, no one's like, oh, remember Lionel Manuel. Yeah. I mean, like that defense, Lawrence Taylor, they were wrecking it on that side of the ball, and that really might be bar.
Okay, so,
you know, just throw it out there, and then they're going to have to dominate games that way.
Because that does bring up a very interesting thought. Like, do you think – this might, Amber, you might need to go to break, but I don't know. But
we're way past.
I'm sorry, we have the same problems on radio. Killing us.
But do you really think that maybe this defense has enough weapons to where it gets to a point where this team can really function as a defensive-minded team? And that's hard in today's NFL
because
the game is built for you to be offensive. But
I got a thought about that.
Okay. Let's go ahead and answer that question after this break.
Little sweet, did you get to work on time?
Yeah, but I just realized it's Sunday.
Little sweet says head on home. Dr. Pepper's on its way. So sweet, unique. Baby, there's nothing better. I bet you've probably done something that deserves a Dr. Pepper. Did you invest your nest egg in an NFT?
Yeah, and I don't even know what that is.
It's a non-fungible token.
Everyone's done something that deserves a Dr. Pepper.
Todd thought it would be secure to jog in the cheetah savanna. Todd believed the big cat repellent he bought online was reliable. And now, Todd is trying to be faster than this cheetah that can run 80 miles per hour. But the good news is, Todd has AT&T 5G that is fast, reliable, and secure. And he learned the best thing to do is stop running and toss her the backpack with the beef stew. AT&T 5G. Fast, reliable, secure. It's not complicated.
5G requires compatible plan and device. 5G may not be available in your area. See att.com/5G for you for details.
Brace yourself for an existential question. Has your butt been having enough fun lately? Have you been treating it well? Has it been going places? If not, then it's about time you start using SeatGeek. SeatGeek is the best way to get your butt tickets to live events. Just ask the thousands of other butts who have rated it the number one ticketing app. So what are you waiting for? Download the app now or visit SeatGeek.com to get tickets to sports, concerts, and live events and make your butt happy. SeatGeek. Get your seat in a seat.
What do you call a group of grown men and women with their faces painted silver and blue who get together every week to share a 3-hour-long ritual of jumping, sinking, and toasting Miller Lite and 10-gallon hats while yelling, "How about them Cowboys?" You call it Miller Time in Dallas. Here's to the Cowboys. Here's to the original light beer. It's Miller time. Celebrate responsibly. 2021 Miller Brewing Company, Fort Worth, Texas.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Back to the break.
Are you a Cowboy fan who spices up the game? Nominate yourself and others to be Cowboys Fan of the Year presented by Captain Morgan. Win a trip to Super Bowl 57 in Arizona. Nominate today at DallasCowboys.com/Fan of the Year. And this segment is sponsored by Blockchain.com.
All one right, time, remember, let me tell you a story sometime about Captain Morgan and Bill Parcells' pose doing the same thing.
Oh, I've heard that story. Yeah. Oh.
It's an awful story, yeah, but I'll tell it another day.
Yeah, everybody else can hear that one. I've heard that one.
Derek, I'll let you go ahead and pose the question again.
What was my question?
Oh, my goodness.
Brian threw me off. No, the question is this defense ready to take that next step and really become so dominant that whatever you get from the offense is good, but really this is a team that's built around the defense, and their success will be built around the defense, and you can get great success around them. We've only seen, especially in this era, if you call it this era of football, like it only happens very, very infrequently. You look at Seattle's teams back in the early 2000s. You look at Tampa going back to like around 2001 or so when they won the Super Bowl. Baltimore. Like it doesn't happen often. Are the Cowboys now kind of entering that territory where you want to think that they have an opportunity to become that kind of team?
I think it's really funny you say this because 365 days ago we were talking about how great this offense is.
And how bad this defense was.
How bad this defense was. And it was just a total, like, you know, 40 burger, got to score. I know Hellman was on here probably screaming about offense. And now, though, you have to feel good about it. I was asked this question yesterday on our show on 105.3 The Fan. Could you win a championship with this defense? Could you win a championship with it? And I'm like, and I'm starting to think about, you know, Tampa, what they did to Kansas City. I'm thinking about what, you know, others. I mean, we've seen, you're talking about the Giants, the Bears. History shows that there have been some dominant defenses that have won. And I think the thing that makes this different is you have a legitimate quarterback. Some of those other teams that back in the day, they didn't have legitimate quarterbacks leading the offense.
This to me is the Bucs from two years ago, the one that the Bucs won.
Yeah.
Because their defense actually was better than the offense.
Absolutely.
Even though with Tom Brady and all that.
Yep.
And I think that it could be the same. And this doesn't. You can win with a really good defense that they don't refer to 30 years later, like the 85 Bears or the 2000 Ravens or the Bucs or whatever. You can win with a more dominant defense, like, and I think that's what this could be. Now, do I think they're going to win the Super Bowl? No, I don't think. I don't think this is a Super Bowl type team. I'm sorry. I mean, I could be wrong, but when just watching what we see out there, you're just like, well, I hope, you know, the quarterback can carry this team. Hope Tyron can stay healthy. I hope a kicker can actually make a freaking kick out here. You know, and then the defense is going to have to do it. No step backs. I mean, have Diggs and Parsons have to. I mean, there's a lot of ifs. And I don't. There's other teams that are more established. We could be wrong. I hope so.
Yeah,
it'd be fun ride.
I think the thing that makes it interesting for me, and I agree with you about the non-Super Bowl thing, but I also see a top 10 quarterback out there struggling his ass off at times because of his own doing. It's just how they're playing, how the defense is playing against him. They're not giving him a lot of space, and they're kind of around him rushing. And
I
see it's Dorrance Armstrong getting around Tyron Smith. It's Zach Martin kind of whiffing on a block. So I'm just kind of sitting there thinking, well, man, if the defense is playing against a top 10 quarterback like that, now the wide receivers are not.
Right.
Tampa or Cincinnati, what you're going to face in the first 2 weeks of the season.
Man, can I say something, too, about that? I've never coached offensive line before or anything, really, to this point. So take this with a grain of salt. Yeah.
Those are little kids.
Yeah.
Kids.
Yeah, soccer maybe. But I would say this. Like, I think today I'm kind of getting frustrated by it. Tyler Smith
put his ass at left guard.
There you go.
And let's go.
There you go.
You want him to be the guy. You drafted him in the first round out of Tulsa. He needs reps. He needs to get in there. What is this rotating with Connor McGovern? Put him in there and let him learn next to Tyron Smith. Let him learn next to the center. Let him get comfortable. Everyone says he's strong, he's strong, he's strong. Well, then what is he? Because if he's this strong, he would be picked in the top five. Whatever warts he's got, let's clean it up. And I don't think him going in the second team is helping anything. Let's get him continuity on the line. Let's go.
Do you think they really believe that Connor McGovern is an option to be the starter day one at left guard?
Then move him now.
Yeah.
Whatever it is, Tyler Smith needs to play the position he's going to play. I think
this is one of the great mysteries that Nick's on to something here. This is one of the great mysteries because if you're talking to people in the organization, they will tell you that Joe Philbin was not a Connor McGovern fan. Connor McGovern had starts last year, and they pulled him out and put Connor Williams back in.
Right.
I was thinking, this is the final chapter for Connor. And then we get to OTAs and minicamp, and he's in there starting, and I'm going, huh, okay. So this guy's not plug and play? Tyler Smith's not plug and play?
Mm.
You know, and to Nick's point, I totally agree. Just put him in there. You know, the warts he had was holding. He had holding. Bad technique at times, footwork. He's cleaned a lot of that stuff up out here because of that. He's getting better that way. But Nick's right. Play the guy. Let's see what you got there.
I think
go ahead.
I was going to ask, if you're trying to find some kind of understanding to their mentality.
I don't have it.
Is there anything at all?
I understood it when I was in the building messing things up. I understood when we had mess ups. But now, as I sit now in this row with you guys, I'm kind of like, I'm sorry, I don't understand. Because I go back to the eye test. The eye test. You can watch practice and see how things – you don't have to be a former NFL scout to see what's going on out here. Trust me.
I want him to get beat. Like, Tyron Smith, 2011.
Sure.
Rookie year. He was getting worked. It might have been 2012, his second year. Yeah. He was getting worked by DeMarcus over and
every
over
day.
And
every
over.
Day.
And,
yep. Every
and by
day.
The end of the year, DeMarcus was the one banged up, didn't play a lot. It was his second year. He was torn, and Tyron made the Pro Bowl.
Yeah.
And it was just funny how things flipped. CD kicked Trayvon Diggs' ass out here at camp, but Trayvon got better and better and better, and then had the year he had. He just needs to get in there. That strength that he's got, let's figure out the other stuff. But I don't know why they're wasting time with him, you know, second team and rotating and all that. Let's go.
All right, well, we do need to end the show because there's a press conference that's about to happen. So, Nick, please ask that question. Mm. Go up right there and ask the question with a straight face. And let's get some answers.
Let me help you. You raise your hand, Nick Eatman, DallasCowboys.com. And then they point to you, and then you get to ask your question.
There you go.
What are we waiting for with Tyler?
Just go palms up.
Yeah.
Coach, what are we waiting for? What are we waiting for here?
Yeah.
All right, guys. This is all the time
we got. Good point,
stick
though.
Around, though, because we do have a live press conference that's about to happen right at 10 here in a few minutes for Nick Eatman. Derek Eagleton. I always struggle there with the ending. For Nick Eatman, Derek Eagleton, Brian Broaddus, I'm Amber Garcia, and this has been The Break on DallasCowboys.com Radio.
This has been a production of DallasCowboys.com and the Dallas Cowboys Football Club.
How about this, Cowboys? Yeah!